Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, please stand for the reading of God's holy word, and I hope that you will take it seriously and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 through 50, as I preach in your hearing the separation of the saints and sinners at the last day. The separation of the saints and sinners at the last day. We're talking about the parable of the net, Jesus Christ, and the purpose of the parables, part 34 in the series, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 1822, 1822, since January the 20th, 2017, day 2207, since January the 1st, 2016, Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 through 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. One of the things that I have always loved about Jesus Christ, he makes things very simple. He uses simple things that we can understand. Allow me to read that verse in your hearing again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Very quickly, Jesus gets to the point of the parable. So shall it be at the end of the world. Now, this is why you need to take this seriously. You need to take all of the words of God very seriously, because God is very loving, but God does not play. Jesus is very loving, but he does not play when it comes to his word. If you are evil, you have never trusted Christ as Savior, you will go to that awful place called hell. If you're saved, you will go to heaven. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, those who have been justified through Jesus Christ, those who have been saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. I also thank you for your rebuke and your chastisement. And I praise you and I thank you for your holy word that says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I praise you, Lord, and I thank you for your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have already, of course, proven your love to all of us by dying for us. You suffered, you bled, and you died on the cross for our sins, being God in the flesh, was buried and rose on the third day. So there's no doubt about your love. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and many and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, help your people, those who are just, who have been justified through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In this passage, you called them good, and you called the other people bad, or referred to them as that. And so, Lord, I pray that those who are saved here would pray with me and pray for me and stand with me and help me to do your will. Those who are bad, the Lord, save their souls. Thank you for putting, even though we have Judases among us, thank you for putting your love in our hearts where even we want to see them saved, even though they've tried to hinder us in serving you. And Holy Father God, have continued mercy and grace upon each and every one of us. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us, Lord, of our sins, our faults, and our failures. Pardon me. And Lord God in heaven, I pray that you would crucify our flesh and the old man within us. Help us to truly die to self at this moment and fill us with the fullness and the power of your Holy Word. Help us not to try to fix your Holy Word the way we want to fix it, but to take it as it is written and in all of its glorious simplicity. This is, Lord, a very simple message to preach, and I believe, minus the devil, a simple message to understand. It's very straightforward. The good will go to heaven, the evil will go to hell, and burn forever where there is gnashing of teeth, wailing and gnashing of teeth. I don't have the definition of wailing. I need that. Wailing and just wailing. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to see that and to bring that out today. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, glorify your holy name, lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting at your right hand, interceding for us and pulling for every gospel preacher to preach the gospel today, every called preacher to do that. And Lord, we pray that millions would hear the gospel around the globe and come to know your Savior before it is eternally too late. Help them to get their house in order and prepare to meet their God in Jesus Christ, to meet you, their God. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray, Lord, that you would grant me once again, as I have prayed earlier, unction and anointing, energy and strength, and grace, and the power of your Holy Spirit, and only your love in my heart. Only your love in my heart for the people. And Lord, crucify our flesh and fill us all afresh and anew with the fullness, the unction and the anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit. Make your Holy Word real and mighty in the hearts and minds and lives of the people, and help them to, for those who are lost to get saved, for those who are saved to appreciate what you've done for them and act like it. For your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. The separating of the saints and the sinners at the last day. You will be there. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, the professing church today has in it both true believers and false believers. That's just the reality. And nobody is shocked by that. God is not shocked by it. And see, this is one of the reasons why you need to believe in God. This is one of the reasons why you need to believe in Jesus Christ. Because God has never lied about what the situation is among His people, with people in the church. He told you from Jump Street how it is and how it's going to be. You will have both saints and sinners in the church. And by the way, as a side note, there were two so-called church shows competing with one another. Saints and Sinners is one, and the other one was Greenleaf. Sad to say, both of them depicted a church full of corruption. I would have to give Saints and Sinners the edge as far as directing and acting and so forth. Even though I do love my disobedient sister in the Lord, Oprah, I have to give the Saints and Sinners program or show the edge. Saints and Sinners. But that's what we have going on in the church, whether you like it or not. Now, God and Jesus, they have told us the truth from Jump Street. That's how it is. That's how it's going to be. Because they cannot lie. Oh, but we have some lying folk in the church. And see, this is what God can't stand, this hypocrisy. Where people don't tell the truth and have other people in the church covering up for them. That all of that right there needs to end. It needs to end. First of all, people need to tell the truth about their own situation. And if they have messed up and they refuse to divulge the truth, the people of God who know about what happened, they need to question that person and deal with that person in the church and tell the truth and shame the devil. Amen. See, because watch this now, folks. You're not helping him. You're not helping her by trying to sweep their evil under the church carpet. And what has happened is all of the evil that has been swept under the church carpet, piled up to a pile of manure with a stench in God's nostrils. That's why God shut down the church. Because we are not willing to deal with the stench, the evil, the ungodliness, the wickedness, the whoredom, the whoremongering and whoring around. One pastor said one time that he could smell the lust in this church. It was so bad. And he was more of a liberal type preacher. But that's what was going on. It was so bad, the stench was so bad of the whoredom and the whoremongering around in the church, going to church to hook up with somebody in the church, in the car, in the church van, at somebody's house, the adultery and the fornication and the homosexuality in the choir box right behind the preacher, a bunch of homosexuals. I'm just going to call you what you call yourselves now. LGBT, lesbians, gay, bisexual. Come on now, how can you be bisexual? And queer, LGBTQ, transgender, all that. Even one homosexual married, hooked up with a man. I couldn't even run his article because we can't run stuff like that. But he said, we're taking it too far. He's telling the straight people, y'all, you're taking this too far, the straight doctors. You're taking it too far to be giving pills to children at their request because they want to. They have a notion to turn themselves from a boy to a girl. Y'all are making us all, you're making us look bad. Worse than what we are. It's a shame before God. We're not for all of this. We're just for the G, gay, and the L, that's it. Oh, yeah, you all, but see, that's what happens, though, when you unleash the devil to do your evil. You get a whole bunch of alphabets. God have mercy. Everything's under that now. And you know, with the homosexuals and the lesbians and the gays and the queers, and they don't mind being called queer, and transgendered and so forth, you know what they've added? The plus sign, whatever else. I'm telling you that a homosexual from Great Britain said, people, you're going too far. We're going too far with this. And there are others who feel that way. Other homosexuals, they feel that way. We're going too far. But see, they didn't, just like the evangelicals and the Baptists and the Methodists who allowed this foolishness in the church, who sanctioned this foolishness. I have to bring this up. I know you don't want to hear it. I have to bring it up because that's why we're in the mess we're in right now. That's why you can't send your children to school. That's why you can't find what you want to find in the grocery store. And that's getting worse. It's not because of the transportation problem. That's a problem. But that's a problem only because people are getting sick. That's why you can't get any help at the emergency room in your town, because people are getting sick and dying. Even the liberal AOC. I don't believe she deserves that honor, being called AOC. That's an honor to be known by your initials, Jack. I can't pronounce. That's why I guess they do it. I can't pronounce her name. I don't even know her name. She said today, Omicron is not some light thing. That's a lie. I've been telling you all that. I've been telling you this. Stop listening to these lying government officials, these lying doctors. And some of these doctors need to shut up and go sit down somewhere. I'm serious, man. These happy talk doctors, these happy talk government officials, these happy talk pastors who've been paid to tell you lies. Huh? AOC told the truth. She said, no. This Omicron is very serious. It is not lighter than anything else. This thing will take you out. She said something else. I can't remember. She said something else about it, too. Basically, she said, do not believe the lies of the government. I've been telling you all this for the past 2 years, people. You better get a hold of God and follow him. If you don't want to listen to me, who God has allowed me to be a voice for him, fine. This is fine with me. I'm just going to do what God called me to do. You better get a hold of God, but don't listen to these happy talk pastors, these happy talk politicians, these happy talk physicians. Because, I mean, if Omicron was so weak and so, not that powerful as Delta and not as powerful as the original coronavirus, why is everybody getting sick? Everybody is shutting down this nation. And worse variants are coming. People don't want to call this to play because they would have to recognize that this comes from God. I've been telling you that from the beginning. That's why it's of long continuance. Maybe God is waiting on some of you people to go ahead and call it a plague. That's what it is. It's a plague because you can't stop it. You have vaccines and you can't stop it. People who have all kinds of shots in their body, they still are getting sick. Why? Because of this pile of manure in the church that nobody wants. Everybody walks around it. Nobody says anything. And you know what? The problem is some of the people who are believers in Christ, they don't say anything about anybody else's sin because you know why? They don't want anybody to say anything about their sin and their foolishness and their fake marriage. People need to stop faking. Devon Franklin and Megan with all of their lying foolishness, and the evangelicals were behind them, supporting them 100% because they had some charisma and some position and put them up to writing a book about waiting and waiting for what? The divorce that they're going through right now? The devil is a lie. All of this is nothing but a bunch of foolishness. And you want to get mad at me for saying something about it. Why? Why? Why do you want to get mad at me for saying something about this foolishness? And you want us to sweep that under the church rug too. Well, I've been telling you all along, most of your marriages are fake. You're the Adams family at home, and you're the Brady Bunch at church. You're hypocrites, you're phonies, and you're fakes. And God does not deal in that. God has no part in that. See, God is like this. You can go your way if you don't want to do what I tell you. But I can't go with you. In other words, I can't be with you on that. I can't bless you. But some of you foolishly think that God will do that. He's so loving and so good. He is loving and good, but he's not going to do that. And then you want to get mad at him at the fact that you're in this plague and you can't go to your church. You can't do what you want anymore. And you're mad at God and you're mad at anybody who represents God in telling you the truth. I have family members mad at me for no reason. They heard me preach on this and predict this for years. And they have listened to their devilish friends who are in the church and their devilish pastors and have tried to turn them against me. See? And they've heard me preach on this for years and warned the world of this for years. And they don't want me to be right, but I am right. And it's getting worse. And if the people do not confess their sins and repent, it's going to get worse and worse. God does not play. The thing that God is going to teach you, my beloved, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I said the living God. God knows what's going on. He's just loving and patient and way more loving and patient than we are. Way more. Because he's so meek and loving. See? Full of loving kindness. Don't get mad at God when people go through hell and go to hell because they didn't obey him. Because he has warned you. God is teaching you that do not get him started. You don't want God to do that because God is not in time like you are. You're saying, well, I thought this thing would be over by now. Begging God to cause this to be over. Some of you folks out there praying to God. Been praying to God for 2 years. Lord, please take this thing away. Hoping that it would disappear. Believing the lies of lying politicians, lying pastors, and lying physicians. You want it to go away so bad, you'll believe a lie. They get you back out there, I told you. Don't let them get you back out there. I told you, don't send your children to school. See, now God is shutting you down. You can't even go. The children don't even want to go to school because you won't protect them. You won't be honest about things and keep them at home. And there are more children sick now than ever from this plague. And some of you parents are dead to me. If you can sit there and let your child get sick just because you want to stay home and fornicate and commit adultery and get high and get drunk and lay on your behind because you already quit your job. It's not because you have to go to work. You want to lie with the other people, teachers and school psychologists, oh, it's just bad for the children to be home. I mean, to be home all the time, not learning, and not in school. No, it's not. If that was the case, you would not have had thousands of students walk out of class. I've never heard of that. Students planning a protest to march out of class because they are afraid to get sick, because they know of friends. You know, listen to me. You know why people have quit their jobs, totaling over 20 million people in this country called America? We don't do that in America. We're big on having a job and going to work. You know why? Because they have seen their coworkers get sick and die. Okay? You understand? Why? Because of our refusal to clean up the pile of doo-doo on the church floor. Our nasty, wicked, evil, ungodly sins in God's sight. Nobody does it. People who have committed the sins don't stop it, don't confess it, and they're biding time right now. Just holding on. Yeah, let me stay away from you from now. Still texting each other. You know, we're going to stay away right now because, you know, this plague and everything. And I can't wait to get back with you, baby. And then people know about their wickedness. They don't say anything. Even pastors and pastors' wives, they know about the sin in the church and they let it go on. And they watch this. And some pastors' wives who are full of hell and the devil, I don't care if you like it or not, you need to take these women off of these pedestals. They don't know what they're doing. They don't even want to be on the pedestal, but they're going to stay on that pedestal that you put them on. God does not want them. They're Jezebels in the church. And they're twisted in their heads and their hearts and in their minds. And you follow them, pastor. You're Ahab and she's Jezebel. She controls you, therefore she controls the church. And here's what women say in the church. Well, you know, sister so-and-so, she has needs, you know. She divorced her husband and so forth. And if Deacon Bo Peep can go over there and fulfill those needs, we can keep both of them in the church, see. And that's how they think. people have needs, and that's all right. And, but it's only for the women, see. Oh, the man who has needs, oh, he is a wicked dog. Pile of manure in the church, and it still has not been taken out. It still has not been cleaned up. And there are bishops and pastors who know about it and won't say anything. See? No. I don't care who it is, me, anybody else. You cannot have a relationship with people that you are not willing to deal with their sin in the church. And you people who come out of mess, you messed up in one place, you come out of mess, and then you go to another church, and the church is so glad to have a member, some members, they don't say anything to you, don't ask anything about what you have been doing, what you've done. That's not pleasing in God's sight. They're not helping you. Because if you don't receive some church discipline and some rebuke, you're going to end up doing the same thing again. Is it going to be worse next time? So, beloved, at the end of the age, God will separate the true believers from the false believers, or the false people, and the good from the bad. Now, this is going to happen, and you need to understand that. Okay? You need to take God's word seriously. Everything that God has ever said in His word has come to pass. It is going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. Everything Jesus said has come to pass, and it's going to come to pass. And the only reason why we're still here is because of the goodness and patience and love of God, who is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and belief and faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we're still here. God is so merciful, because see, once the door is shut and it's over, it's going to be over. And see, God, which you don't understand, God does not play. When it's done, it's done. God is not playing with you right now, church. He gave you space to repent. You refused to repent. And so the boom has dropped down on you. And now you're mad at God. You're mad at Jesus. You're mad at the prophet who warned you for years. And you probably laughed him to scorn. Probably laughed at the fact that he was preaching from a makeshift pulpit in his home before you had to. God was trying to prepare you, and you didn't want to listen. Now you have to do the same thing. Got buildings that cost millions of dollars. You can't preach in it because your people are not there. You can preach in it as long as you don't invite anybody else. Because Omicron does not care. The saved will enter into the kingdom of God, but the unsaved will be cast into the furnace of fire. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God told Noah in the rainbow sign, it won't be water, but fire next time. When you read the messages of Jesus Christ, he preached hard on hell and hell fire. Beloved, in our last several messages in this series, we looked at the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price, as well as other parables. Jesus Christ and the salvation that he provides are like a treasure or a pearl of great price, of great value, that true believers are willing to sell everything and anything for once they receive salvation through Christ. They can follow Christ, obey Christ, live for Christ, and enjoy the benefits of knowing Christ as their Savior. One of the greatest privilege is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you truly know him, your life will change. Now, beloved, we are going to look at the seventh and final parable in this passage, where Jesus breaks it down even further in a very simple way and shows us the separation of those who are in the church today. The saved and the lost, the saints and the sinners, the good and the bad. And let me say something to you. If you're truly saved, you will have a problem with your sin and the sin of other people. You will have a growing hatred of sin, as God has a hatred of sin. And one of the reasons why God hates sin is because it messes your life up. It doesn't mess him up. And you should hate sin for the same reason. It's going to mess your life up. It's going to discombobulate your life. Deep down on the inside, if you're saved, you're going to be bothered by sin. Jesus Christ died for our sins. And so you're going to feel conviction when you sin. You're going to be very uncomfortable, and then you're not going to really want to be around people who are full of sin and evil and trying to lead you to sin, if you're saved. That's one of the main signs of being one of the good people in church. It's not that you are good, you have a good Savior, because you have a good Savior, he wants you to do good deep down from the inside in your heart, your mind, your soul, and spirit. If you're always thinking evil and looking at evil pornography and doing evil, you have not been saved, my friend. See, God is so loving. He's fair. He's going to be fair with you. You will know that if you're saved. You will not be deceived about that. And you will know that you're lost and on your way to hell. The years that I was lost, I was surrounded by religion. My dad was a preacher and a famous gospel singer in his area. My mother was a preacher as well. We were in church every Sunday. I cannot recall a Sunday we sat home and watched television. I cannot recall one from the time I was born until I left home. But I knew that I was lost. I knew deep down I was not saved. And I knew also that the people around me, including my dad and mom, before my dad got saved, listening to Billy Graham, were lost too. Because I knew that if they had it, they would give it to me. But they didn't have it. And for some strange reason, God led me to pray, show me the light. It wasn't the devil, I know that. I prayed repeatedly a simple prayer, God, please show me the light. Because I knew they didn't have the light. How did I know that? I don't know. I don't know how I knew that. And none of them ever told me that I was going to hell. They would have got my attention. And so I don't care about sin. I thought you were crazy. I thought you were a sinner if you didn't sin. I thought you were not cool. You were square. You were not with it. I thought something was wrong with you mentally if you didn't run after sin like I did. What's wrong with you? I didn't have any compunction about sin. I didn't feel any guilt about sin, fornication, which I never even heard that word. I didn't have any problem with sin. Sin was my friend. In fact, we were not doing good if we didn't sin back in the day. What are you talking about? But that's because I was lost, blind, dead in my sins. And if I had died before December the 19th, 1979, I would have died and gone to hell. Didn't even know about hell. And see, this is why God is still waiting on you. Because he loves you. He waited on me until I got saved. And he saved my soul and changed my life. And sin bothers me to this day. And my sins bother me more than your sins. But I don't want to be around evil. I have no desire to be around evil. Not because of me, but because of him. And Dr. R. Walford and Dr. Zuck, editors of the Bible Knowledge Commentary, they say that Jesus' seventh parable compares the kingdom of heaven to a net that was let down into the lake so that a great catch of fish was hauled in. The fishermen pulled the full net to shore and sorted out the fish, collecting the good ones in baskets and throwing the bad ones away. Jesus said this sorting represents the angelic, and I do want you to understand the angels, who are very mighty and strong. They're going to be doing this separating. These servants of the Lord, the angels are going to grab hold of you. The saints will go to heaven. The sinners will go to hell. The angelic separation of the wicked from the righteous at the end of the age. And one day this is going to happen as sure as you are living in this day. And that's what I'm here for, to help you understand that, to bring this down to a reality for you so that you will repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, or rather, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins. I believe that preachers who preach repent of your sins and then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are wrong in their approach. And I know some good preachers who do that. God taught me otherwise, and God has referred me back to my own salvation. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and let the Holy Spirit of God and of Jesus Christ help you to repent of your sins. But you do understand by your own instincts. You do understand by your own conscience. We all do. That once we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's so holy, we know that we have to change, don't we? We have to repent. And so, beloved, this separation will occur when Jesus Christ returns to establish his kingdom on earth. The good will remain, the evil have to go to that awful place called hell. And some people are so blind to this and so wicked and evil, they say stupid things like they're going to party and jam, boogie, boogie down in hell with their friends. I said such stupid things as well when I was lost and on my way to hell. See, it's a dangerous thing, my dear friends, to be lost. Sad, sad situation, because you're blinded to what is going on. This parable is reminiscent in some ways of the parable of the wheat and tares. You see how Jesus Christ makes things very simple. This is very simple, people. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins, you're going to heaven. You don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and don't repent of your sins, you're going to hell. It's very simple. There's nothing hard about this. The wheat and the tares. The wheat are good. The tares are bad. I call them terrorists. The saints are good and the sinners are bad. Does not mean that the saints are perfect. They're justified. They've been bought with a price because they humbled themselves down and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. While there was still growing to be done, the wheat and tares were allowed to grow together. While there is still fishing of men to be done on this earth, both the good catches and the bad are allowed to be in the net together. At the end of the world, when everything is all said and done, the Lord will send forth his angels to separate the wheat and the tares, the good and the bad, the saints and the sinners. The wheat will be gathered into the barn and the tares will be burned. The good that is caught in the net will be gathered into vessels, but the bad will be cast away into the furnace of fire, where there's wailing. Wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Thank you. I want to give you the definition of wailing, because some of you people don't understand that. I want to give you the definition. This is what's going to be going on. Crying, wailing means crying with pain, grief, and anger. Making a prolonged, high-pitched sound. Have you ever seen anybody wail at a funeral? There's so much pain of regret, pain that you didn't say, I love you, to the child or to the person before they left, before they died. One comedian, his friend Bob Saget sent him a text. What's his name? Who he regretted that he didn't answer the text. Dave Chappelle. And thank God that he was honest enough to say that. And sad to say, we got many people who are in church, wouldn't tell anybody that. Too proud. But Dave Chappelle, who does not claim to be a Christian, said he regretted that he did not answer Bob Saget's text. He regretted it. And then he said, people, you need to understand that these moments are precious. Now, he's lost and on his way to hell. He's not a preacher. He's not a pastor. He should get saved and become a preacher. Tina ran off wailing. How? weep, cry, sob, moan, groan. And watch this. This is all you're going to hear in hell. And the pain is not just going to be because of the fire and the maggots. The pain is going to be, man, I almost got saved. I was going to get saved. God, if you had waited just a few more days, I would have gotten saved. One of the most painful things in hell would be an agonizing and painful memory. That's why folks, and this is all you're going to hear for millions of years when you go to hell. And this, I mean, some people can't stand the cry of a baby. I don't know of anybody who can stand the cry of a grown person wailing, just screaming and hollering, moaning and groaning, lamenting, yowl, snivel, whimper, whine, squall, bawl, shriek, scream, yelp. Complain, grumble, carp, sorrow, beating one's breast, and on and on. Regretting. That's what's going to be so painful too in hell, regretting. That's why people are going to be crying the whole time. Do you want to go to hell where millions of people are screaming and hollering and wailing? Well, get saved today, my dear friend. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. You will avoid this horror of wailing and crying and mourning and regretting and having an agonizing memory because of your stinking pride. You didn't want to get saved. You want everybody to believe that you got saved earlier and believe in your false, fake religion. You were too proud to humble yourself before the cross of Christ and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when all along God was trying to help you get saved. I believe there are more people in hell today because of pride than any other reason. And so, dear friend, if you want to be saved today and avoid this horror of going to hell and your teeth gnashing together in pain and at the same time wailing and crying and hearing thousands of others do the same, then get saved today. Understand that you are a sinner, that we're all sinners. The Pope is a sinner. The Dalai Lama is a sinner. I am a sinner. Joel Osteen, the pastor of the largest church in America, is a sinner. Whatever nice person you think is not a sinner, he is a sinner and she is a sinner too. We all have sinned in God's sight. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. That's a problem. If we all have sinned, that is a problem that has to be taken care of, because there's no place in the universe for you to go other than hell, because God is holy. I know it's hard for you to get your head around that, because you're not holy, you're unholy. God is holy and he cannot tolerate sin in his heaven. So sin has to be taken care of. Now either you're going to take care of it, or you're going to try to take care of it, or you're going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. you're trying to take care of it is not going to help you. So you're going to pay for it in hell, or you're going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. He took care of your sins. He paid your sin debt. And so you need to believe in him. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. Always. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." You may not want to admit it, but one of the most frightening things on earth is to die. Do you understand me? Think about it again. No, death is not a part of life, like some philosophers lie to you and tell you. No, there's not three stages or four stages of grief and accepting death. No, it's permanent. The pain is permanent. Only by God's grace you could get through that and go on with your life. There's one step, permanent pain, when people die in our lives, especially if you're close to them. Death is a bad thing. Death is the ending of life on this earth as we know it. And God told me to tell you that if he would allow you to die from this beautiful greenish, bluish, whitish ball called earth, which is not heaven, but is not a bad place. We made it bad. There's nothing evil about the earth. We are evil on the earth. And the earth suffers because of us being so wicked and so evil. Like the animals, they suffer because of us. Earth is not a bad place. We made it bad, living on earth, because of our sins. But God will allow you to die from this miracle place called earth. Hanging on nothing? I think you need to reconsider your belief in evolution. This beautiful, magnificent, on-time earth, swirling around at speeds you know not, and going around the sun and everything and so forth and so on, and has a bunch of water on it, but it does not fall off, it does not leak out into the black space. It's hanging on nothing, held up by the power of God. If God moved it away from the sun just a little bit, we would freeze to death. If he moved it closer to the sun, we would burn to death. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I mean, we came from a tadpole and then from a monkey. Have you lost your righteous mind? That's foolishness. I didn't say that. I didn't call you a fool. I would not dare do so because Jesus told me not to do that. But God called you a fool if you believe that foolishness. God has said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. How do you think this ball called earth that's perfect for us to live on got there in the middle of space hanging on nothing? You got to be crazy. God put it there. God is the one who is holding it up. Make no mistake about it. And God is the one who will allow you to die from it because of your sinful nature and your sins and your violations of his commandments. if former Prince Andrew has to be judged for the evil that he has done years ago, then you're going to have to be judged by God for the evil you did years ago and even now. Come on now. Come on. Let's not be foolish. Hello. No, I know your evil mind is fixed that somehow you're going to go to heaven anyhow. No, you're not. Everybody singing about heaven ain't going. Huh? And what God wanted me to tell you, and what God has told me to tell you, and I don't use God's name in vain. I fear God too much. I don't say stupid things like that to people. Like some of you pastors and preachers, putting God in everything, and you're saying, man, don't be doing that. I don't do that. But I know that God told me to tell you that if God will allow you to drop off of this earth in death, he will allow you to go to hell as sure as you're looking at me. And that leads me to my third point. Dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now as I speak. If you have never truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're headed towards hell. And you need to get your house in order and prepare to meet your God. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. And his sermons were straightforward, simple, and powerful, just like this parable. But when he preached on hell, he never said it was a parable. Because it is not a parable. It is non-fiction. Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 9, verses 43 through 48, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Because it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, the maggots die not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. In this parable, he talked about the gnashing of teeth. Wailing. Why? Because people who die without Jesus Christ go to hell and they will wail and gnash their teeth together in pain. Have you ever been in such pain you grit your teeth like this right here? And you grind them together trying to ease that pain. That's how bad it's going to be in hell. And don't worry, everybody's going to get their just judgment and their just punishment. Everybody's not the same. Hitler, who killed 6 million Jews, he's going to suffer far more than the old lady who cheated on her taxes and she never got saved. You see, there are going to be old ladies in hell. A whole bunch of them are in hell now. For we're all wicked, we're all sinners, we're all evil. Only in this life we got people, men and other people, who think that all women are sweet and wonderful and dandy, when some of them are the most evil people on earth. We have been deceived, we have been bamboozled. Men are not the only ones wicked and evil, and they are. But women are too. There are millions of women in hell right now. Right now. Only on earth have we been deceived to believe that. God has never told us that. Read his word. He said, well, surely she's not going there. Yes, she is. Surely he's not going. Yes, he is. No matter how sweet they act around you, if they don't trust Christ as Savior and confess their sins and repent of their sins, they're going to hell, my friend. Well, that old lady was so sweet in church, but she was a devil at home, see. And if thine eye offend thee, Jesus Christ said, I said Jesus Christ said it, pluck it out. He's getting across to you and to me and everybody how bad sin is. Jesus Christ is saying, I would rather for you to believe in me, pluck out your eye, believe in me, and go to heaven than to have two eyes and go to hell. That's how bad hell is. In other words, Jesus Christ is saying that hell is so bad that I would rather for you to go to hell with one eye, one foot, and one hand. I'd rather for you to go to heaven, rather, with one foot, one eye, and one hand than to go to hell with both feet, both hands, and both eyes. And we cherish these eyes, don't we? We cherish our hands and our feet, don't we? We don't want them amputated. We do everything we can to avoid amputation. But God is saying it's better for you to go to heaven like that than to go to hell, because hell is that bad. Hell will make you wish you got saved. And the reason why you're still here, now we don't know how long it's going to last. The reason why we're still here and you're hearing this message, some of you will receive it, some of you will reject it, is because of the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He is not willing that anybody should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The only reason why I'm preaching every day the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is because of the love of God. Not my love, God's love. He's the one that motivates me to do it, because and to give people as many opportunities as they, as we can to get them saved. Now, hell is bad news, isn't it? But, dear friend, I have some good news for you, uttered by none other than the same man, Jesus Christ, who preached on hell so hard. He preached on hell more than most preachers today. I preach on it every day to try to make up the difference. Because I almost went to hell. And I don't want you to go to hell. Here's the good news. Jesus Christ said the most important words ever said to mankind. The most wonderful words, the most loving words, when he said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. Believeth means to trust in Jesus, to have faith in Jesus, to believe in Jesus, to trust in Jesus. Jesus Christ is the one who uttered these words, and he was speaking of himself, and he said, you should not perish if you believe in me, but have everlasting life. That means you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. And all you have to do is believe in me, because he paid it all to him we owe. Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died, and paid your sin debt to God. He was buried and rose on the third day. He went through hell and went to hell for you and for me. And all you have to do is believe in him. You don't have to pay any money to the church to get saved, because you don't have enough money to pay for this salvation. God was the first one to make it clear that love does not cost a thing, not J-Lo. And his is a real love that will save you and hold you up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can't work for it because you don't have enough time. Time will run out on you. So joining the church is not good enough. Getting baptized is not good enough. Singing in the choir, not good enough. Preaching, not good enough. Deaconing, not good enough. Shouting, jumping, running around the church, not good enough. You're going to shout and jump and speak in all kinds of tongues in hell. That does not mean anything as far as you're being saved. Nothing. You heard what Jesus Christ said. Just believe in your heart in him. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you. Pardon me. So that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. For Romans 10:9 and 13 in the Holy Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved. You don't deserve to be saved. You deserve to go to hell. He said, well, preacher, what am I getting saved from? I'm getting saved from hell. You're getting saved from hell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Pray and ask him. Call on his name and ask him to save your soul. For he will save you. If he can save me, he can save you. Let's all pray. Those of you who are not saved, avoid wailing and crying and hollering in hell, gnashing your teeth together in hell. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Makes no difference who you are or who you think you are. Let's pray together. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge and I admit that I am a sinner, and that I have broken your Ten Commandments. For I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have lusted after people and things before. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents before. And I have dishonored you by taking your name in vain before. And Lord, that's just five of your Ten Commandments that I have broken. But I have broken other commandments of yours as well. I've committed other sins, as you know. So for Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul today. And please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults, as I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my wretched soul today. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of all of my sins, and help me to turn from my evil ways and follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in your holy name I do pray. Amen. Dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, that is the gospel, that is the good news. He was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God for you and for me, so that we can be a part of the just that Jesus was talking about in that parable regarding the net, and not a part of the bad people or the evil people who rejected Christ as their Savior and who did evil because they loved darkness more than they loved light. In other words, they love sin more than doing right. And the greatest right thing that you can do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, Emmanuel, God with us. It's another name for him who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. So, my dear friends, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or whatever email is on your platform, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you to grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well. And we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. Let's all stand for our closing prayer today. Make sure that you pray without ceasing today. Make sure that you keep your heart and mind stayed on the Lord. You don't need to pray about the Cowboys or the 49ers. You just pray to the Lord about you and your family, making sure everybody gets saved, and that you make sure that you live for the Lord and you have peace with the Lord. A little bit of heaven on earth. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I praise you and I thank you for the previous service that sets up this service. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for what you have done, for what you're doing, and for what you will do. And Lord, I thank you for those souls that have gotten saved, those Christians who have been revived and encouraged. And Lord, thank you for giving me the privilege to preach your holy gospel and to preach your holy word. What a blessing it is. Now, Lord, help us to pray without ceasing. Help us not to drop our guard. Help us all to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. For we have learned down through the years, if the devil can't get us before the service or during the service, he will fight to get us after the service. So help us to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray and for his sake. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.